Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for another day, Lord, that we can gather together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name in heaven and in earth. The Lord by which only salvation is found, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for Lord our Savior and our Lord, he went forth seeking after the lost one. And we were once upon a time lost out here in this world of wilderness, traveling and going the way, going about our way of life, the thing that we do, not realizing, Father, we are lost. But we are thankful for the great shepherd seeking his lost sheep on the mountains, in the valley, in all the wilderness of this world, and calling out our names. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us a heart to be opened up to the hearing of thy word. And when you call our name, Lord, we responded, because you have given us the grace, a gift given unto us, faith to understand, faith to hear and respond. We thank you, Father. We thank you for salvation. And in this last day now, the eagle is screaming out as the white dove leads the way. And help us to stay, Father, in line of thy word, Lord. And we thank you for that token of thy spirit, Lord, to bring forth light unto us in this hour. We ask for your blessing now. You open our ears to the hearing of thy word. And touch my lips to speak, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Now you may be seated. Turn to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4 verse 1 to 6. From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You seek and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust in envy? But he give more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. Now my text today, or my sermon title today, is War Within and Without. I want to show you that this world is filled with fallen angels, demonic spirits that controls every nation of the world. In every corners of the world, there are all these spirits out there. And even though we study demonology, you realize that demons has a place located to them. They control nations, and they seek to control even God's people. Here, we are talking about war within and without. Now, when we read this text here, I want you to know that James used very strong word. Literal word represents something spiritual. It says the first word, wars and fighting among you. What is that? There is always this envying against one another. You know, let me say this. I stand in this pulpit here. I have the authority to correct. If you misbehave, I can call your name right from here. And if you are offended, you do not like it, and walk out, goodbye to you. Because the Bible said, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Do not Paul tells the church over in Corinthians, and in all those other churches where he went to, One admonition, second admonition, after the third time he did it again, out he goes. You know? And he said, even rebuke openly. But sometimes when I try to correct somebody, I have been misunderstood that I'm trying to put person down. No, I'm not. You know. But there are those that are easily offended. Now let me tell you something. If you want to be offended, don't be offended, because truth is there for you. And I know how it is. People do not like the truth. Jesus Christ told the disciple, are you also going because you're offended with my word? Now Peter has some sense. He said, where do we go? You're the one who have eternal life. You told us the truth. I know it hurts. Isn't it? Now when I talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell them that they are sinners. What do you mean? I'm a sinner. I want you to know I'm a good man, you know. I love my wife, I love my children, I love people, I love my neighbor. I give money to charity. Big deal, you know. I mean, there are a lot of people who are philanthropists. You tell them, you know, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ and they are sinners. They don't like it, they hate it. They don't like to be told the truth. But here we are, we're talking about war. But this war that comes within us, or even the war that is out there in the world, they are all created by spirits in the world. Because they are the one that owns this world. Remember, the God of this evil world is Satan. The world do not belong to God. Some people do not understand the difference between the world and the earth. The earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof. But the world, the cosmos, belongs to the devil. Everything in this world, they are run systematically, they are owned and controlled by Satan. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't understand that. Whether you are, it's a political system, whether it's a religious system, whether it's a financial system, and whether it's militarily, military system, it's all there, controlled by the devil. So now when Paul, when James talk about wars and fight among you, he says, come not because of your lust. Yeah, what kind of a lust? Lust to have what we want, the thing that pertains to only our ego. Yeah, many times pride takes the toll upon a person's life. Verse 2 said, you lust and have not because you kill. You kill and desire to have. The word kill is murder. You murder. Well, James used a very strong word. Huh? You murder, you kill. What do you mean by you kill? How do you kill? Of course, he was talking to Christians. So what do you mean by kill? Huh? You struggle within you. You will manipulate anything. You know, when you want to kill somebody, what we call that premeditated murder, right? You premeditate to do what? And to do anything possible to get what you want. You know. Oh, you know, my brother Jimmy, he has a car. My brother Henry has a lorry. He sold his car anyway.
Big deal.
Big deal. Yeah, my brother Micah has a car. And so I have a car. Well, I'm jealous. I also want a car. You know. So I meditate. Wow, you know, you get all this and you strive to have something. And what did the Bible here tells us? It said you have and you did not obtain. Why? Because you fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask God for it. And if you ask God for it and God says no, what happened? You get upset with God? Or just like the brother, an American brother, who fell in love with, to him, he fell in love with that Filipino lady. And it wasn't for him. And he said, God is dead. Wow, God is alive only when you have a blessing. God is dead when you don't have blessing. Huh. You see, that the kind of struggle, the war that is within you. The spirit that is in you. What are you struggling with, the black dog and the white dog fighting? And you don't even know how to fight a fight. Right. And even here the Bible said, verse 3, you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Why you want something that God doesn't want you to have? Huh? You know, sometimes you go to somebody's house, wow, the house is beautiful, got so many things, you know. Right, you open the fridge, wow, the amount of food in there. You know. And you go to somebody's home, and then maybe you spend a night with them, and they give you a room, and you say, wow, this is a Simmons bed. Yeah? And special pillows and everything. So what? You know what I mean? What, you want to compare? And then say, yes, say you don't compare. He has and I don't have, I want. You are awesomeness, and that you consume upon your life. There are people who struggle for that. Alright. Verse 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses. What is that? Were they all really committing adultery? No. You know what is adultery? Adultery is that if we are married and you go out to join with another person who is not your spouse, then it's adultery. So what is James talking about? You're an adulterer, you're adulterous. No, you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Therefore, if you will be a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. What is adultery? Who are you married to? Who am I married to? I'm married to Christ, right? I would be committing adultery if I fornicate spiritually with the world. We are not part of the world. The world belongs. We have nothing to do with the world. We are just passing through. So if we commit adultery, spiritual fornication, agree with it, agree with the system, political system, religious system, in any way that they corrupt us. Yes, many times a lot of things corrupt our mind. You know, and when we talk about adultery here, we talk about spiritual fornication, especially for what we stand for. I'm a child of God. It's okay to smoke. Really? It's okay to, to drink. It's okay to drink, but you get drunk. What happened? You see what I'm saying? It's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. We cannot give 1 inch to the devil. Or else, when we do that, we are fornicating. You are committing adultery. That's what the Bible says here. Then you are no longer, you become an enemy, right? Of God. James then said this. Do you think the scripture says in vain? The spirit that God in us loves to envy? What does the spirit of God that is given to us dwell in us? What does he do? What is he supposed to do? We are prisoners, Paul said, we are prisoners of Christ. Is that right? Yeah, we are prisoners of Christ. But yet, if we say that we have the Spirit of God and we lust to envy, we do things that is contrary to the Word. The Holy Spirit is supposed to lead us into all truth and guide us into all truth. Not creating us a lust. That's why I find the world today, the religious world, is so full of compromising. And the worst thing that we see today has come to pass in 1948. The ecumenical movement. The ecumenical movement not only unites the churches together, but it brings in other religions. Do you know that? Did you hear about it? Did you know that they're bringing other religions into the table? Not just the churches. So how do you separate the light from darkness? When you want to mix with darkness, when the light want to mix with darkness, is it possible? It's not possible. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 9. Second Corinthians. I don't want to talk about the war within, and I want to show you about what the Spirit will do in the war without. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means to say, we are human beings, our body needs food. We need to work. Right, everyday thing, yeah, we walk in this flesh in the sense. You see. But we don't live in the flesh.
We are necessary for us. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts in himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. Now Paul wrote to this Corinthian church. Now the Corinthian church has always been, having a big problem. Of all the churches in the days of Paul, Corinthian church is so very carnal, as you already studied. Why? You know, it's a cosmopolitan world. And, you know, idolatry is rampant over there. In Athens, just across Corinth, you know, the high school of learning, and there is this temple. Alright, to their god, and to where they have orgy during worship, prostitution in the temple. You know. And we know paganism is like that. It was traced back to the Old Testament time. Nations among Israel, they tried to enthrone Israel, to get them to them, to join them in their worship of Baal, Asherah, or Chemosh, and all that, where they have public openly their sexual orgy in worshiping their God. That's why it's, why is sexual intercourse so much practice in idolatry? You go and look into history and study it. It's because what happened in Garden of Eden? Knowledge! That's why the serpent lied, deceived him. The day that you eat of it, the day that you partake of this action, you become as God. So people seek knowledge by having sex. That's how we have young people in the world do that. In the world today. Back in my days, in the 60s, 50s, 60s, we don't hear of this. But when all that we knowledge that spread all from the west to the east, that's why you see the east copying the west. Right? You know what I'm saying, right? The influence. Let me tell you one thing. The influence of corruption upon the world is easily followed. Bad things are easily copied than good things. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Because we are fallen creatures. How do you hold up the standard then? That's why God raised me up to hold the standard of this world. None of the logical. I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility to hold up the line, the life, the light in your own corner. Remember the song we sing about little corner, you in your corner and I in mine? The light that you have. Don't let it die out. The darkness are there in the world that try to stifle you. Black out your light. So Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you know, yes, we have this weapon, we are fighting against this vanity, this spirit of darkness, against this lie, imagination, carnality. And in verse 5 he says, that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. What exalt itself against the knowledge of God? Man's wisdom, man's imagination.
Over the years, God has opened ways for me to have dialogue with different people, you know. And I began to see how the thinking, how people think. You know, when God called me into this ministry, I went and fast and prayed very often. I said, Lord, you give me the wisdom. I don't know how to deal with it. I need your wisdom. Open my mind, open my understanding. And that's why Solomon, what was he seeking for? He seeked for wisdom. Wisdom not of the world, but wisdom of God. Wisdom by the Spirit of God to be able to discern. Are we able to discern? We need to. And be able to discern, come by the Spirit of the Lord, come by the Word of God, come by understanding His Word. That's what Paul was saying. You know, we have this weapon. Spiritual weapon. What is this weapon? Do you know in another place he said, put on the full armor of God? Huh? The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith. Against all this vile attack that's thrown at you. We need to put on the full armor of God. And that's why Paul said that we were cast down. All this imagination, unimaginable, that exhort itself against the knowledge of God, against the Word of God. Yes. And then in the last verse, last two verses, Paul talked about the authority that was given to him and the other apostle. It's to edify the people, not for their destruction. When Paul spoke the truth, it was not to destroy the people. It was for their edification. Now if I don't tell you, if Paul doesn't tell the truth, blood will be on his hand. Is that alright?
Yeah.
You see. And in verse 9 he said that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by my letter, by my writing you this letter. You know, Paul's word can be very strong. Right. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. Is it okay so far, son? Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given us not given us the spirit of fear. Of course not. When the word of God comes to you, it should not terrify you. Now that you are a believer, you should embrace it, knowing that it is life eternal. We need to be corrected and walk in the yardstick of Christ, from glory to glory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come short of that standard of the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was made manifest in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, well, let us have a sound mind. Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 27. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I know I'm a Gentile, but I'm no longer the former Gentile. Right? You understand what I'm saying? We are all Gentiles, isn't it? Aren't we? Anybody who is a Jew here? I'm not asking that you are a Jew because you're circumcised. In the flesh. Right. But so we are all once upon Gentiles. Former Gentiles. So we should not walk like them anymore. We walk in newness of life. And then in verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. So let us not walk like our old former self, our old man, the way we walked before. behave like the world.
Huh?
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah, of course. We should not do that. And don't give place to the devil. Not even one inch.
We may lose our God, but let's rise up and fight back. Because this is war. Not against one another, but against the principality of this power of the air.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 16. But I hear it when you read.
What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the thing of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Good. It is true. What man know the things of a man? Said the man, set the spirit of the man which is in him. Now, can I know the things that is in the mind today? Do I know what's in our mind? I don't know. Only you, your own spirit knows what's in you. For what man know the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God know no man, but only the Spirit of God. Whatever the Lord thinketh, you do not know. Only His Spirit knows. Right? Remember, Jesus was with the disciples. And He said to them one day, He said, I need to go to Samaria. And the disciples wonder why, you know. You need to go to Samaria. Because he had a vision. The Father showed him that there will be a woman at the well that he needs to go meet her. So my mind is my mind. What is going in my mind? And your mind is what's in your mind. I don't know about your mind. You don't know. You can't read my mind. And the whole thing that goes right down then. That now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, we receive the Spirit of God. So whatever thing that God has given us, we should know that. A lot of people don't bother about the things of God. They don't care. They don't. I feel so sad for that people like that. We need to be, you know, if the Bible is true. There are so many verses in the Bible that tells us to learn, to study this word, right? To know God more. That's right. Some people say, oh, we don't know God. We will never know God. Really? And of course, this is spoken by the Trinitarian. Because the Trinity is a mystery. Of course, it's a mystery. How can there be one God with three persons? That's when I was in the examination of God, when I asked the pastor, he got confused too. And he doesn't know any guest. You don't presume about the Word of God. The Bible said there's only one throne, right? The throne of God and of the Lamb. What, the throne of God and of the Lamb? Who sits on it? That's Christ Jesus sitting there. Right? The fullness of God. Colossians 1:19, Colossians 2:9, that we read about. In Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The throne of God and of the Lamb. One throne. And I asked the pastor, I said, is it one throne? At first he said,
What do you mean by throne? I said, you know, stand before God, how many thrones are you going to see in heaven that God sits on? And after a while, he kept his composure for a while, then he said, oh, okay. I said, how many? He says, one. I said, now make sure there's one, not three. Because you have three gods, you have three thrones. I said, who sits on them? He paused for quite a long time to answer. I don't remember how Jimmy remembered. Then he said, God can reveal himself as one sitting on the throne, or he can reveal himself as three sitting on the throne. I said, how is he going to do that? You mean three persons squeezing on one throne? Or the body of God with three heads? Think about it. If we do not know about God, who is God, then we fail. Like the woman at the well, Jesus said to her, you worship, you know not what. Salvation is of the Jew. True. We think we know more about the word of God. God asked the Jew, how many God there is? That's why they find so hard to comprehend about the Messiah Jesus. Right? And yet they said, when the Messiah come, he will be God. But yet, when the Messiah stood there, and you look at the man, he said, cannot be God. But you know there's only one God. What did Ephesians? What did Ephesians say? I mean, if you say that we can't know God, go to Ephesians chapter 1 now. And see what it says here. In chapter 1, verse 16, 17 and 18. Paul says that he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. You read? Did you read? Or is there something wrong with the Bible? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of what? In the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and so on and so forth. God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. And He's still reconciling the world. There are Lord, there are still elect that has not yet come in. And Paul says, I pray that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him, who He is, what He's doing. Right? You understand what I'm saying? If I were to ask, let's say Shadrach, when Shadrach grows a little older, I ask the little boy Shadrach, I says, what is the father doing? I don't know. He goes out, he goes to the car, he comes back home and eat the breakfast, he comes back and take dinner. What's the father doing? I don't know. That's terrible, huh? A son does not know what the father is doing. And then when they are children like this, they don't even know what the father is doing. What's the father's occupation? I don't know. He just goes out and he comes back. Every day he goes out and he comes back. That's all. You know, and it's very sad. You know, a father must relate to the son, to the children. And the children must have a relationship with the father. Do we have a relationship with our father? Do we know who he is? He certainly knows about us. And he wants to teach us and show us. But yet, when we are trapped in religious institutions, by the spirit of this world, the world against us, it stops us from understanding him because of tradition. No wonder God hates tradition. No wonder Jesus Christ cursed the Pharisees and Sadducees. You make the tradition of the elders, right? And you make the word of God not effective by your tradition. And I love this Bible. I love the word of God. It's my life. Without it, I don't know what I'm doing. Without this word, I don't know what my life is all about on this earth. What is the purpose of your life? Where are you born? And what are you doing here? On this earth? Are you just come up on your mother's womb crying and crying for milk? And you are satisfied just to suckle and to take milk? And after that, you're like a little baby, you can see them. I remember when I, you know, my wife had my children, and Adam, being my grandson, you know, I feed him, you know, milk and all this. After when he's full, it's done. And when he's hungry, start to cry. He cannot wait for the milk. And then you grow up, running around, having a good time. They go to primary school, being taught, and have problems with other kids. That's all about life. You grow up. Now remember I said this, your character are molded in the early stage by your parents, then by institution of education, by your friends and neighbor and all these things. They will mold your character. But when you grow up, your character are molded by your own choice. Don't say God make me like that. No, God did not make you like that. Your character are not shaped by God. Until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, your character should be shaped by the Word of God, according to the character and image that's in Christ Jesus. Is that right? That's what it is. Some people say, this is my character. That's why I speak. You know how people can be very rough and speak. So when you speak like that, that's my character, I can help you. Really? I give you a slap, see why I can help you. My hand is going to help you. I can give you a slap. It's my hand. I go, you know what I'm saying? You know, we all make choices. The Bible says, choose you this day. Choose. Choice. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who someone will come unto me, right? You know, God doesn't force you to go to Jesus Christ. He doesn't. But once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are born again and you are His son, He will chastise you. Because now the Father will chastise. Before you are out there in the world, when you are not His child, He doesn't take a rod and kill you and smack on you. But once you come to Him, as the Lord, He will use the word to chastise. So let us keep the word. Alright, so now, verse 13 says, comparing spiritual now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13 says, you know, Paul said, we still also we speak not in the words of man's wisdom, but which is of the Holy Spirit, the teaching. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Huh? That's not why, you know, when we are learning the Word of God, we need to compare the Word of God, spiritual thing with spiritual thing, right? That's not why the Bible is a book of is a treasure trove of goodies. Right? You know, when you look at the Bible, it's what a day, sometimes you read, you couldn't understand this. But somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit bring in another part of it. And you compare, oh, now I see the answer now. That's why, you know, trying to understand the Godhead, a lot of people find it so hard. But don't let tradition block you. Go to the Word, open up your heart, and see it the way it should be. And God will open it up to you. If you have a heart desire, you ask, Lord, I want to know you more. He will not miss you on that. You know. Okay, and then he says, verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Of course you can't, because those things of the Spirit of God, they all look like foolish things to them, right? Huh? Isn't it? That's true. But he that judged, he that is spiritual, he judged all things. Yet he himself is judged of no other man. Now, when we believe what we believe, according to the Bible, okay? He that is spiritual, we judge all things according to the word. Any other man, natural man, will judge you. Don't worry about that. His judging is corrupt. So, It should not affect you. But who have known the mind of Christ or the mind of the Lord? Remember, I talk about the mind of Christ. Who have known the mind of the Lord? That the natural man, that anybody else may instruct him. Now, if you have the mind of Christ, can a natural man instruct you on the things of God? Because, well, we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, nobody else can teach you. No natural man can teach you. Out there can teach you. No. Because we have the mind of Christ already. And our minds are open up to the Word of God. Natural men out there cannot teach you because they don't have the Word. They don't have the mind of Christ. So, remember this what I said. Don't say to someone when you are angry with someone because, you know, it irritates you. Well, let me give you a piece of my mind. Don't ever do that. Because you are giving a part of your mind, that's the mind of Christ, to that person who is not worth it. You understand what I'm saying? If you are weak in this church, I can tell you, let me give a piece of my mind to you. Then I can teach you, because you are able to receive. But to those outside, don't. Alright. Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2. Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. Right. Paul is talking to newborn Christians. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And a lot of people don't care about, I mean, I'm a Christian now, you know, I go to church, and but the mind is not renewed. That is a child that is not born again. Born again Christian would learn. That's, you know, why I think Barbara make a statement which is so very true. A dry sinner can go into the water baptism and come up a wet one. Isn't it true? Yeah. Dry sinner can go into a water baptism and come out a wet one. You understand what I'm saying? Come out still a sinner. Just wet. It's true. There are a lot of people. Billy Graham spoke the truth too. He said, I can go to a city and preach there for 6 days of crusades. And then I don't remember what it was, a figure he was saying. One of 60,000 people to come to the altar and receive Christ and give their life. He said, when I come back 6 weeks later, will I find 6? Or is it because of emotion that people go out? The altar call. I remember back in those days we were all having crusade. Huh? What was the song that usually the altar call? What was that song? It's all on your altar, is it? Oh, what was the other one? Come home? No. There's another one. I can't remember. I surrender. You know, you have this song that goes and the preacher came out saying for half an hour, come give your life and plead with them to come. And sometime a friend said, come, go. Okay. He went out there. You know, we'll go all that. So now everybody comes to the altar, actually give their life to the Lord. It's just emotional. That's what we see there in Singapore. I told you about the survey. Right. After 10 years down the road, what about your faith? We still hold your faith. Well, maybe I turn secular. So you are going to a church for what? Social? Gathering. That's what you were going there for. Romans 8, 5. To 10. Romans chapter 8, 5 to 10. Brother Henry.
Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. For they that are after the flesh do the mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Right. So he deals with the mind. To be carnally minded is death. No, I'm not talking about the natural man. There's the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. Natural man, well, I'm natural. I walk in this world. Right? I need to eat food. I need to walk. I need to drink. I need to exercise. That's natural. But I'm also a spiritual man, which is foremost in my life. Because when you are born again, the Holy Spirit takes care of you, and you become a transformed person. That means the most important thing that is in your life is a spiritual man. You need to take care of that. Feed upon the Word. But if a man starts, well, said, I'm hungry. That's natural. That's a natural man. But when you start saying, wow, that food is good, and you start to become a glutton, that's carnal. Or when you're a married man, you look at another woman, ooh, my, that woman is pretty. I wish I could have married her. Right? That's carnal. Or you lust after things. That's carnal. See? So, to be carnally minded is death. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's why it's so important to be born again. And a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I give my life. I repented. They go to water baptism, they come out, they're still a sinner. They never really are born again. And Paul Euclid said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What is to have the Spirit of Christ? Remember the book that I wrote, I preached on it, The True Evidence of the Holy Ghost Baptism. Because there's so much confusion out there about true evidence. Oh, the denomination will say, you just come accept Christ, you're born again. And then you have those speaking tongues, you're born again. And those in the Abraham, in Branhamism, you receive the word, you believe what Abraham said, then you have the Holy Ghost baptism. The true evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism is receiving the word. What do you mean by receiving the word? What do you mean by that? And if you ever follow the book of Acts and follow what is written there, you will see that when you have the Holy Ghost baptism, you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's main activity in your life is to lead you into all truth. Right? And show you things to come. So that you will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Word is for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit cannot contradict His own Word. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word and the Spirit, they are one. God and His mind and His thought, they are one. That doesn't contradict. It cannot lead you into tradition. No. It will not lead you into spiritual fornication, which the Bible in the book of Revelation show about the Jezebel spirit. Right? Yes. And today, no wonder Barabbas make the true statement. Every Sunday, Satan is being worshipped in all churches. In almost every church, Satan is being worshipped. How is it so? Because of adultery. There's a spirit of adultery. Who is how responsible? Who is responsible for that? That's not this war we're talking about, war that's within.
We need to know what we believe in. Because Satan is the god of this evil world. He controls. He influences. He will penetrate every way he could. Let me ask you now. You're sitting right here. Do you believe that Satan is right here in the midst of us? You say, no, it cannot be because we are Christian people, we are sinning people. Satan is here. The devil is here. Right? And trying to influence your mind. That's right. Demons go to the church too. And many times, demons hitchhiked. Somebody give him a ride. And somebody bring this demon into the church too. Do you understand? Where is God? Is God in the church? No. What is God in? God is in his own word. People say God is in the church. God is not in the church. God is in his own word. And until the church, the people that have the word in them, then you can say God is in the church. Right. God stay where his word is make alive. Remember, God will stay where his word is make alive. When the word is dead, is fornicated, he cannot be there. Because God is light, he hates that darkness. What do you think he dealt with the children of Israel so many years after time, so patient, until his patience is limited to the standard, he cast them out to Babylon and Assyria. And yet his love for them was there. Brought them back to Israel again, brought them back to their land, give them the city, give them the temple. Again, they fornicate. Spiritually against him. They crucified the very Messiah that they said they believed in. That why couldn't they recognize Jesus Christ? It's because first of all, they did not recognize the Word. Because the Word reveals crimes. And yet they can't see. Why can they not see it? It is because of tradition. That's what Jesus said. You make the word of God no effect by your tradition. The more that you preach your tradition, you kill the word of God. So, let's go on. 1 Samuel, we're not going to reading all this. 1 Samuel chapter 28 to 31. Remember on Friday we did a series of warfare, spiritual warfare. I'm going to take this example of 1 Samuel 28 to 31. When we go and look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, we already see. Let us go and we just briefly recap here. Here we have the situation of Saul, King Saul and David. And we all know that Saul, King Saul, was well chosen of God. Because the people want a king. And Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, smallest of all tribe, was a man of good stature. Tall, handsome looking. Oh boy. You know what about handsome and beautiful? Let me tell you something about it. Human beings is like that. Our eyes, when you see something beautiful, we look again. When we see something horrible, a man whose face is distorted, or a girl whose face is distorted, we see the first time, you know, repulse, yes. Then you have again, you want to look again. You know what I mean? Yes? Yes. I'm a mind like that. When I see people, Sister Wiley years ago showed me a video of a man. I think that also is in the Philippines. A video. On the motorcycle, the man was hit by a truck or something, he was cut into half. And he was lying. His body, his leg then was one part, the lower body was one part away, and his body was there. And he was still alive. Intestine was coming out from him. And he, the man was at that, and he was gathering his intestines. Wow. He was cut off so fast that there was no pain in him. He was there. I said, wow, he's still looking. Just imagine that. Used to be when I was young, when Singapore was building up, we have tall buildings. And one of the tallest buildings was where I was living at that time. But now the thing is that the tallest building at that time was 40 stories out there in Queenstown. When that building was built, oh my, there are a lot of suicides. You know, when I hear some people say, oh, there's somebody that jumped, I went and look. I've seen eyes pop up. And I went and looked and I've seen legs protrude out, the bones chucked out. You know. I'm a person who are fascinated by death. What is death all about at that time? You know, trying to understand and comprehend what happened to the man when he died. When he died. You see. Now here we have this situation in 1 Samuel. Chapter 28 here. We have King Saul. And King Saul had become rebellious against God. And God rejected him and, you know, chose David. But David was not enthroned yet. Right. And Samuel was dead. And then in verse 3 of chapter 28 says that Samuel was dead, and then in the last verse, last part of the verse says, and Saul had put away those that are familiar spirits and the wizard out of the land. Right. So now, what happened? Here came the Philistine with a large number of soldiers to come and fight against him. Oh, now he's scared. He was afraid. And then in verse 6 says, and Saul inquired the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dream, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. God didn't answer Saul anymore. And you know, when we rebellious come to state, God will not answer our prayer. And then what happened? He already put away all those wizards and necromancer and diviner. Well, what are you trying to be getting good back to God or something? But now when he sees the army, he's afraid to fight or to fight, whether he will win the war or not. So he wanted to inquire from those, someone who is a witch or a diviner or a necromancer. So he inquired, hush, 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 hush. So they say, oh, there's one in Endor, a witch in Endor. So he secretly dressed up and went down there, you know. And the witch was already having all this decree that was set up that anybody who practiced it will be put to death. So here came Saul, these guys, some come on, a common man, and asked her to divine. Says, you know, the king said, no, we shouldn't do that anymore. Right? You know, don't get me into trouble. No, then you will not get into trouble. You won't get into trouble. And the woman says, all right then, who do you want me to call up? No, you know the difference between necromancer. You know what necromancer is? Necrosis means dead. Mancer means to call up the dead. Necromancer. A diviner is one who calls the spirit in this world, you know. Especially in the paganism. Huh? You know, the medium and all that, they do all this calling the spirit of this world. A necromancer. I like the word necromancer because it tells the truth. Necro means dead. But if you break up the necromancer, romancing the dead. So this woman says, who do you want me to call up? And he just said in verse 11. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up unto you? And King Saul said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. You know, the woman that Saul said, bring me up Samuel. The moment he said that, the woman, the Bible did not say the woman, oh, who are you? You know what? You know, you know, sometimes you understand how A lot of hocus pocus. That's what I see even on YouTube, some churches, you know. Oh, they corrupt Samuel. No, the witch didn't corrupt Samuel. Saul asked her to corrupt Samuel before even she could mumble a word. Samuel came up. What actually happened? Interestingly, if you want to go to the book of Ezekiel that I talked to you about, Ezekiel chapter 14, 1 to 8, that you understand. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 to 8. In that passage, God already told Ezekiel, he said, again, any of these people, go and play the harlot, worship idols, and when they are in trouble, they want to ask, inquire through the idol, I, God, will answer them. What kind of strange, huh? I will answer them. Oh, yeah. So you pray with idol and all these things, God will answer you. If you are a child of God, like Saul whom God anointed, rebel against the Lord. Now he wants to find an answer from God to this witch. God says, I will answer him. The moment he mentioned Samuel, Samuel raised up. That's right. And the witch was so scared. So you are Saul. And Saul said, what do you see? She's the only one who could see. She's the only one who could see the apparition. Or the vision, whatever you want to call that. I see a man with a shout, that's Samuel. And you know, Saul knew that when she described it. And Samuel said to Saul, through this witch, you come here for my rest. So to speak. And he said, tomorrow, this day, you and your son will die in the battle. Terrifying, huh? If somebody were to come up to you and tell you tomorrow you're going to die in an accident, oh, I better stay home then. But he didn't say the accident is by a car. The accident may be something, the ceiling drop off a piece of sparring and hit your skull and you did. Or you might fall in the kitchen and broke a head. So there's no way, if prophecy is true, there's no way for you to prevent yourself from it. Right? Isn't it? I said, because I have a dream of peace, a prophecy of peace about me. So okay, I'll wait and see. If it is true, it will come to pass. You cannot prevent it from not coming to pass. If it is false, you cannot try to make it to pass too. Yeah. You can't. So interestingly now, and then in chapter 29, here we have the Philistine coming to fight. But here we have a prophet Achish. You keep King David. David, because Saul was trying to kill him many times, right? You know that. And so what did David do? David went and joined to this Achish, a king of the Philistine. So now, this Philistine is going to fight against Saul. And David was with Achish and join him. But then those are the kings. There are at least about four of them. They want to get a fight, including Achish. And they said, no, why would you bring this guy along? He's Israelite. You know, he's Israelite. He might turn against us during the battle. Don't want him to come with us. Well, anyway, it was God's plan. Because you know, in the thick of the battle, you think that David is going to fight against his own men? No, he will turn and fight the Philistine. But already David already was very good to Achish. And Achish says, oh my, I like the way that Achish, look at Achish, say, what did Achish say here? In chapter 29, verse 6. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Yahweh live, thou hast been upright. He named the name of David's God. You have been an upright person. He even acknowledged that. You see. So, say, please don't go with me now. The Lord, the other prince do not trust you. So then David went down. In the early morning he went down. In chapter 20:30. When they went down to back to the home which is Ziklag, what happened in Ziklag? They went there, they found the whole place all burned. Who took over? Who took all the women and children? All the men, there were only 600 fighting men that was with King David, or David. 600 of them. So who are there left in the village of Ziklag? Well, it was a place that the Philistines gave it to them to live. Only old folks and young children and the wife of the 600 men. They went there, the place was destroyed. Amalekite came and took all of them. So now the soldier was upset with David, but they wanted to kill him. But they said, no, they asked him, what could you do now? And the Lord, and David called the Lord, go and fight them. Everything will be recovered back. None will be lost. Went up and took them. Interestingly now, the question is this. Why did Amalekite come and get them? Who are these Amalekites? Do you remember the Amalekites? Let's go to, I want to see this to show you. The war that is fought within and without. How did he affect us? Do you understand? I'm coming to the modern day warfare now. Why in the first place did this Amalekite attack Ziklag? Go to Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 to 19.
Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 to 19. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget.
Ah! Thou shalt not forget! What had Amalek did to you when you came out of Egypt? They went and behind this whole, 3 million people, mixed multitude. The old folks are all staggering behind, right? And children say, Mommy, I'm too tired. They're all walking behind. And the Amalekite, being a coward, came on the back and killed all these people. And God said, when you come to your land and rest, don't forget, destroy the Amalekites. Who are the Amalekites? Who is Amalek? It was a descendant of Esau. Don't forget to destroy them. And in 1 Samuel 15, what do we read over in 1 Samuel 15? When God told Saul, when you fight against them, kill them all. Did they do it? Agag, the king, he spared, right? And he spared so many of them. When God said, do it. Oh, God is a killer. You don't know. You develop people don't understand why our God is like that. Tells you the day when these are bad genes, bad. And then we have this carnal reasoning of Saul. Carnal reasoning, you know. You see, the warfare is when you... He doesn't realize the spirit out in this way is influencing him. Making a counting decision against God's word. And so when I said, God said, so you do it. One denomination not having feet washing. And one, if you come to communion, why are they using leather bread? And Ravina juice, grape juice. Well, we know what is on the Passover table. When the Bible talks about feet washing, why are they not doing it? Think about it. They're all kind of convenient. And what about baptism? Why are they not immersing? Sometimes just pour water, right? On the head. Or sprinkling. Why? Convenient.
It's all about convenience, because I wear a suit, I don't want to go into water baptism. You know what? This is spiritual warfare. That's what I'm saying. We talk about war within. We lack of the thing that we cannot get. We have carnal reasoning. May God have mercy. Remember one thing, God never changed. The Bible says every word that you utter will come back to you on the day of judgment. And everything that we do, we give an account to God. Men will change, but not God. And if we want to change, we change with the word of God. Not our kind of reasoning. You see? And that's what Amalekite lives on. Where are the Amalekites today? It's in the spirit of this world here. And where are the Canaanites today? How come they are not all destroyed? They are still here. Right. The Canaanites are out there. They are the missionaries. They only want to fight and kill. The Amalekites will trouble the people of God. That spirit thing. Now, news. Now look at the warfare today. Today's paper. I happened to glance it today when I was taking my breakfast. The news is still on. I don't know whether you have seen it. But when I turned to it, and it's on A6, the news is still there, fresh. On Thursday evening, I saw the news about Facebook, about Cambridge Analytical. Ha! Interestingly, ha! Isn't it? Then on Friday, our newspaper is full of it. And yesterday is full of it. And today, it's still here in this page. Interesting. Interestingly, huh? You know, years ago, when the U.S. presidential election came into a lot of the news of the world, and of course there were a lot of speculation whether Hillary Clinton will win President Trump. And of course a lot of people said Hillary will win. Lo and behold, Trump came into power. And we are all kinds of news. So when he came into power, and there were a lot of exchange of people saying, oh, that's a fake, man. There was a lot of manipulation and this and that, you know. A lot of cheat and whatever, and the Democrats were crying foul and whatever. So I was surprised that, hey, a businessman, you know, was elected. But now I realize why the businessman was elected. It's a lot of manipulation. A lot of people do not believe it. And the news came out all these years. And you know, almost every day, you see the war in Syria being fought. The battle out there. And a lot of news blaming on Russia. 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 CNN. Right? Russia. Behind this. Russia manipulating. Russia not even manipulating all this thing. Hey, how do you know, brother again? You listen to fake news, you know? Am I? I just keep my peace. See, because I'm analyzing what the scripture shows. It doesn't matter whether President Trump, Donald Trump wins the election, or Clinton, or whoever. It doesn't matter. But there's a lot of things that is going on in this world today. I'm saying this. Satan is fighting his last, final war, battle against God. Huh? He knows that he had but a short time. And he's going to fight. Not only against God, but against God's people. And try to corrupt the whole world. And to put his sentence on Christ on the throne. And which we know is the Antichrist. And everything is very quiet. But you know, there's so many fake news coming out. And people don't know how to decipher. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And wow. You know what Lee Kuan Yew said? Our
our father of nation. He says when lie is spoken so often, you become truth. Yeah. That's not brainwashing. The same thing, you are here today to be brainwashed by me. Now you go to church, you are brainwashed by the denomination. God is three, God is one, God is three persons, God is one, God is three persons, God is one, but He's three persons, God is one, but three persons. You repeat that often and often again, you'll believe it. God wants you to be rich, God wants you to be rich, prosperous, God is multi-million. And they preach prosperity, on and on you go, you'll be true. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost baptism, you talk about it so all the time, you will believe it. Right? But when we talk about it, show me scripture. Basic facts. Judgment begins in the house of God. Do you understand that? So how do you decipher fake news? Huh? 911. People have been brainwashed to believe there was Osama bin Laden. I tell a lot of people that it is not, they won't believe it. And I know the South American people who don't believe it, and now they see the truth. Examine it closely. Look at it closely. And some people don't know, they don't believe it. Doesn't matter. But you do not know what's going on. Look at Israel. Look at Israel's history. Do the people kill their own self? The president of America, how can he kill his own citizen? What happened in Israel? They kill among themselves now? Yes! Even David's own children fighting among themselves. No! Hey, carnality! Think about it. Do you know how the Spirit of God is working in the world? How the devil is working in the world today? Fake news, son. Oh yeah? And we have this case over in 1 Samuel chapter we read at the end of it. You know how King Saul was killed? How King Saul died? You know that, don't you? Yeah. He was wounded and he called his shoot arrow to kill him. He refused. Then he takes his own sword in forehand, right? Next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 1. What happened? Here came a man, an Amalekite, a young man, that came to David with his sword and everything. He said this, try to seek the favor of King David. So King David said, how did King Saul die? He was wounded. So he asked me to kill him, so I killed him. King David realized it was a lie and put him to death. Can you discern what is right and wrong? King David is not easily foolish. He has a wisdom. Today, do you have wisdom? Do you believe every news that comes out? Because a lot of time we see all the little write up and all we send. Many times we just send. We don't realize it. A lot of fake news are coming on. People are manipulated. So now look. This guy who wrote it. It takes an order of insouciance. Of course, it means of course a lot of indifferences. And if look over here. I want to quote this so that you can see. Alright? One lesson here is to beware. Executive with posh accents and good suits. It is very threatening that people might see us having this incredible power. Mr. Nick Alexander. Nick spoke Parliament last month, perhaps, but he was a conjurer of illusion. You may know who Nick is. Alexander Nick is the chief executive of Cambridge Analytica. The one that done with Facebook and Cambridge University is the one behind it, and another man, Bannon, manipulating details on your Facebook. This is not the only one problem with Facebook, Twitter, even Skype, whatever thing you post, WhatsApp, even now are being noticed, are being saved in the whatever server. That's right. And people will manipulate the data. Alexander Kogan, a lecturer in psychology at Cambridge, to collect data from Facebook users. So, Is it very unusual for people to collect data? Whenever we use computer, wherever we visit, it's all locked up. Wherever you search, it's locked up in the server, your telco. Isn't it? Cambridge Analytica may have broken some rules, but its legacy is to have shown the influence that can be welded without breaking them. Oh, the way of manipulating it. Huh? The next one here. The real business isn't data. But you collect data for what? As the Cambridge Analytica scandal unfolds, the Western world is meeting a little known part of its political industry. Because these are money making. There's a lot in money. I mean, in all this data. You collect it, you use it for money. The one that has operated in developing nations since at least 1990s. Its methods, as revealed by Britain's Channel 4 News, whose reporter posed as a potential Sri Lankan client, may be a bit extreme. But for the most part, the consultancy has been one of many firms that have brought Western-style electioneering to lawless environments in which it has been blatantly abused. Someone posed as a Sri Lanka client, undercover. And that's why they are whistleblowers. Cambridge Analytica chief executive Alexander Nix said his firm could arrange honey traps and frame opponent for corruption. Ah, that's what we are saying now. They're going to call the one is corrupt, the one is corrupt. Bragging rights. I use the same people who got Trump elected. How did Trump get elected? Manipulation. How did he manipulate? Interesting. Next, you can show the next one here. Brandon, I don't recall buying Facebook data. Former White House chief strategist Stephen Brandon said he does not remember purchasing personal information from Facebook while working for political consultancy firm Cambridge Analytica. I didn't even know anything about the Facebook money, he told reporter. He said he would rather not talk about Alexander Nix, who was suspended as chief executive of Cambridge Analytica on Tuesday after he was caught on tape boasting to British undercover reporter about offering fake sting and honey traps to clients wishing to discredit their political opponent in the election. Mr. Brandon's comment on Thursday marked the first time he spoke publicly about the scandal over the misuse of Facebook data. It broke over the weekend after the New York Times and Britain's Observer reported that Cambridge Analytica had improperly accessed data on 5 million Facebook users to build profile on American voters that were later used to help elect Donald Trump as U.S. president in 2016. Former Cambridge Analytica employee Christopher Wiley, the whistleblower. And how did we have the City Harvest Church go into trouble? Because one of them was involved and then he became the whistleblower. Right. I was told one time, but again, you may not know somebody sitting here having a tape recorder taping me and become a whistleblower. who broke the scandal said it was Mr. Bannon who oversaw Cambridge Analytica's early effort to collect troves of Facebook data. So we have whistleblower. Turning to the conference audience, he added, that's Mr. Brandon, you are all serfs, well-paid serfs, but still serfs. The data is all out there. They take your stuff for free and monetize it with huge margin. They take over your life. That's how the Facebook can earn so much money. How comes Zuckerberg, what was his first name? Mark Zuckerberg. How did he come with a multi-millionaire overnight? What's in it in Facebook? You go on it, it's free, right? But what is in it? Advertisement! Data collection, mining, studies, how to manipulate. That's why when you put your location, where you are, when you put on Facebook, they have the data, They'll send it to you. Shops around your place, shopping mall around you, good food around you. Right. Mr. Banner, who fell out with Mr. Trump early this year, also pushed back on the idea that Cambridge Analytica won the election for Mr. Trump, reported CNBC News. Here's what's won it for Trump: economy, nationalism, and talking in plain language to the American people. That's right. How do you manipulate? Make America great again, right? Yeah. And Trump is the only one who could because he has the money. And so on and so on and so on. Whatever is going on, you manipulate people. That's what I'm saying. We are all being brainwashed. And we are listening to fake news. We don't even know this fake news. We don't know what it is because we don't understand. But let me show you the scripture as we close on some of the thing here. Let me say this. The UK was once upon a time a great country, bringing the gospel to the world. Because of the first Bible translator was King James Version. Very well translated, very good. Went out the wall. What happened to the UK today? There was not much food. The spirit in the world is controlling, manipulating the people. And here comes, yeah. Remember the pop, you know, pop groups? Then we have what? We have the hippie groups, right? Oh, yes. People now smoke drugs. It's okay. The church lost control too. Now you are saying, same thing. Great country. Sad. But they fell in the same way. Huh? The spirit there, do you know that everywhere in the world there's demon control in the world? There are fallen angels, they have territories. You know that. I was just thinking, if the gospel did not go westward to Europe, let's say go eastward to China, to India. The India is so full of pagan up there. Go to India, then to China. What do you think will? Would that be a different in history? You say, there might be a different. But I don't think so. Because humans are carnal. Humans are sinners. And the devil will take chances to manipulate whatever he could do. Right. Why did my father not believe in the gospel? Because what he sees, the Catholic Church going over there in China, taking the land, they see the Protestant churches, Methodists, whatever, go there, trying to help the people, hospital, and they take the land, and they don't like that thing. So the devil will work in people's life. Say, this is bad, this is a white man, they come here and take our land. The white man went to America and took over the land of the Red Indians. They went to Africa, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia. They took over the land. That's the devil's work. Right? But they will go in the name of the gospel. Oh yes. Matthew 24, verse 7. The Bible said, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. What are we seeing? We are seeing the four winds. You remember the four winds? The winds. Ezekiel 37, verse 9.
Then say he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say up to the wind. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. O grieve and grieve unto this thing, that they may live.
Right, we are living the last day now. This is going to take place for Israel. The four winds is going to blow, and then those in Israel will lift the gospel. They will have the gospel. And yet, we also read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, right? Four winds. Winds blow! What are the four winds? The first, political. The second, religious wind. The third wind, financial wind. And the fourth wind, military. The angels are holding it back. Not yet. But we can see there's been a lot of struggle. The wind are very forceful. The angel is restraining it back. Don't release it yet. Because when it's released, you hit Armageddon. But there's a lot of struggle now. The winds are still blowing, but not in full force. The angels are holding back. You can imagine what I'm talking about. You're talking about wind. The force. Angels are holding back. Like someone wrestled. Hell. And if it's gone, if it come upon the world, then we are the end of it. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Let me say this now that is true. Every nation is under control of spirit. Right? That's what the Bible talks about, the first beast and the second beast, the book of Revelation. So in Daniel chapter 10, verse 7 or 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. But I remained there with the kings of Persia. What is Daniel talking? Or what is the angel telling Daniel about? Daniel was fasting and praying, for wanting to know what's God's will for his people. An angel was sent to Daniel, but the angel was blocked by the prince of the kingdom of Persia. This is not talking about a literal prince. It's talking about the Lord, the prince, the one who is in charge of the country, the one who is in the spiritual, in charge of the whole religious land. When you talk about the spirit, what is the spirit of America? We call it Americanism. What is American spirit? You don't know, right? The great American dream! Driving great Buick. Now I don't know what they want to drive. You know, they don't say they were the Buick and all that sort of thing, Lincoln. A Cadillac, yeah. See? What is the spirit of China? And those days, back then, those days, a dragon. Right? What is the spirit of America? Russia? The lumbering bear. Very fearful, huh? When you lumber, you don't know what it's going to do. So what is Russia doing today? We don't know what to do. What is the spirit of India? What is very India? What? I don't know what you want to describe it. Huh? What about the spirit of Jew? Semitism, what do we have? They're still believing in Yahweh, they hold on to it. Every nation is under a control. And this angel wants to come and help Daniel understand the word of God. Understand God's will. But that demon out there in Persia broke him. And he had a fight with that. Until Michael came and helped him. People don't realize the demon has a lot of power. You think you want to fight against the devil that easy? You better have the word of God himself. Paul said you put on the armor of God. So that every nation has a control, right? Okay? Huh? The territory that belongs to them. You cross my territory, I blocked you. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 and 2. Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, when in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Alright. The prince of the power of the air. What is this? The prince, the one who owns this world. He and his hosts are fallen demons. They own this space, this heaven, this realm. Right. Fighting. So fake news, falsehood, lies, and we see in the second piece. What did the Bible say in the book of Revelation chapter 13? You know in Revelation chapter 13? You have two beasts. First beast, what is that? What is the first beast? European, Union, right? The Romanism. The one that raised up all of the sea. What about the second beast? They came out of the land. Right? And the beast has two horns that look like lamb's horn. And that's America. You understand? What did the Bible say about America then? If you read the rest of the chapter of Revelation, what he said about America? And that second beast built an image to the first beast. And you know what he started? What is it? Lord, we will still go by tradition. But we realize that this image is ecumenical. It's ecumenism. Americanism built an image, ecumenism, to the first beast, which is Romanism. And bring all the churches back. And you know what? When they did that, America let down the bar. And America has become, as the Bible called it, false prophet. And that's why our Americans came for the whole lot of fake news that swallowed the whole world. And they influence everyone. They use technology, Facebook, Twitter, and people start to sell out these false news. Fake news. America has become a false prophet according to the word of God. Brother Prime Minister 63 says that no longer pray for America. She's fallen, she's gone. See? The American people tell me to pray for America. I say, sorry, I don't pray for that. So why? You don't love America? I love the land, but not the system. It's gone. Finished. Don't love about it. I'm serious. Did Jesus Christ pray for Judas Iscariot? Tell me. If Jesus Christ prayed for Judas Iscariot, then I'll pray for the Pope. Know your Bible! Know your Bible! So we are in the end. I want you to let you to know that this war that is within us, without us, within, means without, is outside in the world. It's all because this whole world belongs to Satan. He's running it. And we don't belong to this world. But as you know, we're just passing through. So when we pass through, don't pick up all the dirt as you walk with Christ. Huh? That's the reason why Christ never struggled with Pontius Pilate. So are you a king? He said, if I'm a king of this world, my people will take out army fight. You see? Because our kingdom is spiritual. And the warfare is spiritual. We need to know what God wants us to know. Walk in the light. No private prophecy. As the Bible said, watch and pray. Jesus Christ said, watch and pray. Watch what? Watch prophecy. Watch the word of God unfold. Know who your enemies are. That's who we come be overtaken by darkness and deception in this world. May the Lord help us all. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Let the word prevail, O Father, in our life. As thou lead us, O Lord, from day to day. We ask for your grace, O Lord, that the word that you have given us will become fruitful in our life. As we are planted, O Lord, by the rivers of living water of the word of God, that our Lord Jesus Christ will continue, Lord, to prune our life, that we bring forth much fruit, O Lord. May our life, O Lord, glorify thy name. That we truly, O Lord, the other who sees us may proclaim and say that we are truly a person worthy of the gospel. We have been walking in the light of thy holy word. Father, we ask for your grace now. Bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.